Thank you, Chair. We are not convinced that we need a definition of laws. Depends, as others have said, on what we intend to use it for, and it depends on how we formulate the prohibitions and regulations under the two-tier approach. If the norms are formulated with a general scope of application, for instance, the kinds of human control that would be needed to ensure IHL compliance for weapon systems in general, without limiting it to laws, then a definition would likely not be necessary. But our mandate is, of course, tightly connected to the concept of autonomous weapons, and we repeatedly hear calls for definitions. And the concept of laws is, unsurprisingly, also a recurring feature in our discussions. So we believe that this GGE would be served by a more unified understanding of what it is that we are discussing and what it is that we seek to prohibit and regulate. Laws appears to mean different things for different delegations. For some, laws is defined narrowly and appears to be the label on that which we should forbid or ban. That laws basically is the name of that which is already prohibited or forbidden. And for others, laws or ORs is a broader concept intended to serve as the starting point for a regulatory approach. As we see it, any definition or characterization of laws should not prejudge the permissibility or impermissibility of the system itself. It should be broad enough to support the two-tier approach, whereby some weapons are or should be forbidden, whereas other weapons are not in and of themselves illegal but permissible, subject to further regulation. In other words, the ability of a weapon system to comply with IHL or other international law should not be part of the definition. That should be part of the subsequent consideration of prohibitions and regulations. We agree that a definition must also serve to narrow the focus of our work, if we do have one, and as some have pointed out, autonomy in weapon systems could range from the seemingly unproblematic, such as a surveillance drone operating independently, to those with the capacity to kill and destroy. And as we see it, it is autonomy in the critical functions of target selection and engagement, or application of force, if you will, that present the greatest legal and ethical concerns. So we believe it would be fruitful to narrow the discussion down to weapon systems that, once activated, can identify, select, and engage targets without further human intervention, or some variation of that. An important part of such a definition is the word can, whether a human is able to intervene and whether the human intervenes or not in the specific instance of use should not impact on the definition. That would be a question for the subsequent assessment under the two-tier approach. Also, we should add that our understanding of this definition, which by the way appears to be promoted across a range of proposals, is that it encompasses both systems that can be under a chain of human command and control, so humans in the loop, and those that can operate completely outside of such a chain of command, human out of the loop. Whether a particular system is permissible or prohibited depends again on the subsequent assessment of the characteristics of the individual system, and that is not a question for the definition to determine. On the issue of lethality, we agree with others that we, strictly speaking, do not see the need for the inclusion of this word. We can be flexible on the matter, but we struggle to see the value that lethal adds. Whether the design intent is to kill or whether the actual consequences of its use is to kill is relevant to the assessment of these weapons under the two-tier framework, but shouldn't have any bearing on the scope of our work. Thank you.